thank you. For those that are tuning in, that was Lynn Helms. Thanks for hosting us here. And thanks for everybody that's here in person. We have our full cadre of Industrial Commission members, so we'll call the meeting to order. And the first order of business, turn it back over to Lynn.
Thank you, Governor. North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources business will be walking through here, and then you'll be taking a break and moving back to your conference room. First order of business is order 29129, case 26584. This would be the delineation of the ordinary high water mark of the Corps of Engineers survey segments on the Missouri River from the northern boundary of Fort Berthold Indian Reservation to the southern border of sections 33 and 34 in Township 153 North, Range 102 West. This involves Williams, McKenzie, and Mound Trail counties. The way we intended to walk you through this is you have a copy of an order that we're going to ask you to approve, which will direct changes to the Wink report. It will also deal with all the comments that were received, but the easiest way to work through that is Joel Toso with Wink Resources is here. He has a PowerPoint that will walk us through the process and through the changes that they are recommending based on the comment process that we went through leading up to and through the hearing on June 26th. So, with your permission, we'll just have Joel take it away.
Thank you. My name is Joel Toso. I'm with Wink Associates. I'll present the...
He's the first one to not turn his mic on.
Thank you. Excuse me. I understand we're streaming on the web as well, so this PowerPoint should be on the web, as Lynn said. Thank you, Lynn. Good morning. This presentation is based on the... mostly the comments we received on the report that we did in April. So you may recall the report we did in April. I'll run through that very, very briefly and kind of give you the results of where we're at now. Brief outline. We've got introductions, brief review of the report, as I mentioned, from last April, summary of the comments received, proposed responses to those comments, and proposed amendments to the report that we did in April. Lynn Helms, like I said, I told him today that he was on the, but he's not here, so it's just Lynn is representing the DMR. And my name again is Joel, and we also have Cale Benbergen for any legal issues. Project scope and purpose, as we mentioned last April, is to do an ordinary high analysis. Move it closer. Sorry. Thank you. To do an analysis of the ordinary high of the Missouri riverbed. This would be the historic Missouri riverbed under now what is called Lake Sakakawea. It was initiated by state legislation, and we were to use as presumptive ordinary high, the Corps of Engineers survey. The goal was to determine if there's clear and convincing evidence that the Corps survey does not accurately represent the ordinary high. So that was the purpose. I'd like to mention something about the Corps survey that we learned early on. When we queried the Corps, we asked them what the Corps survey was based on, and what we had in an email from the Corps was that it was based on the 1943 river bank. So it's not necessarily what we would say would be the ordinary high based on the definition we were asked to use. The state engineer also pointed out that the Corps may have acquired land to the ordinary low water mark. So that there's some issues there. But in the comments we received, the Department of Interior was pointed out in a letter from the Department of Interior that the Corps survey is based on the best data out there. So those are your three pieces of information we have about the Corps survey, but I think it's quite important that we know that.
And this is Doug, to delineate from to Commissioner of Agriculture, Doug One. For those listening online, remind us when the USA survey is the best map that you describe, what year or what date are you referring to on your third bullet point on that slide?
So the third bullet point, thank you, Governor, third bullet point is related to the core survey, which was done prior to the establishment of the dam in the Garrison Dam. I think it started filling in 1952, so they would have done their property acquisitions prior to that date, so they were started. I saw in the appraisal documents a lot of it was stated 1950, 1951, in that range. Thank you. We've used the definition of the ordinary high water mark based on legislation, and it's quoted here. The ordinary high is the point at which the presence of action of water is so continuous as to destroy value of land for agriculture purposes, including haylands. So that last part was quite significant, as we learned in April. Project area, I think Lynn mentioned it. It's near Newtown, past Williston, a few miles. So we see that on a map. Scope of work, we're to gather data, analyze the data, present the findings, publish the findings, and we're here right now getting review the comments and providing final recommendations. The work we've done since April, we published the findings, the report and supporting information. We had a 60-day comment period. We had a public hearing in June 26th, and we're currently addressing those comments that were received and providing recommendations to you. Summary of the comments. There are 22 commenters submitting 1,500 pages, approximately 1,500 pages. 15 commenters were at the public hearing, four of which were new commenters. 79 total comments received. 37 of those comments were outside the scope of what we were doing.
What would they have been? By example.
Arguing about the legalities of the whole project. So we consider that out of the scope. It's not really what we were supposed to be doing. So I think that was a primary one.
And on the prior slide, when you said you had new commenters at the public hearing, that means they were not included in the 22 that provided prior written summary?
Thank you, Governor. Yes, that is correct. So we had written comments and also received comments during the public hearing. Those new ones were the ones that came forward in the public hearing.
Attorney General, another example of something perhaps outside the scope was there were a number of comments regarding releasing lands that were above the ordinary high water mark. Well, that's outside the scope of the Industrial Commission, outside your jurisdiction, and is something that'll be a follow-up process. So those types of things were lumped together as comments outside the scope.
Thank you, Lynn. There were 20 comments on the Wake report, 9 of which were talking about methods and analysis. 7 were about the core survey versus the Wank study, the OHWM. Great. My flight leaves soon. 5 were terms and definitions, 22 comments about the Wank ordinary high water mark. So those 22 comments I'll go through in more detail. Of the 22 comments we get regarding the ordinary high water mark, 17 comments advocated for excluding additional area. We investigated all of those. 4 comments were found that merited changing the ordinary high water mark line, excluding or recommending additional lands. 2 comments advocated moving the line further up the bank. We reviewed that and recommended no change as well. 2 comments supported the Wank ordinary high water mark. 1 comment regarded an error with regard to ownership of an island. That kind of breaks down what we received in terms of comments on the ordinary high water mark line. I'd like to go through some of the maps we had and just to go through is where we received the comments and what we did with them. Would that work all right? So I picked the three. I think this is map number two. Northern Oil and Gas has ownership in this area. What they were recommending is that based on the data that we provided.
So people online can also hear you.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Based on the data we provided, Northern Oil and Gas recommended that we move the line up the bank. They felt that the modeling we had done had proved that the water actually reached higher. We looked at the information on the banks, and there is apparently some agricultural processes going on here. This was, we couldn't say this was clear and convincing evidence that we should move it further up the bank. This looked like agricultural purposes. We didn't want to move the line as we had it here. So we left this as is. Stan Nice has ownership along this area here. I think he was mostly concerned with the movement of the line here, or like this hatched area. We looked at that, and based on the information we had there, he didn't provide any other information regarding there was agricultural purposes, there was no other information regarding vegetation, this kind of thing. We felt our line held in that location. So we recommend no change in this area.
Joel, can you explain what the black line versus the blue line versus the hash marks, please?
Thank you, Governor. The black lines are the BLM quarter-quarter section survey. It's public land survey data. The blue line is our ordinary high. The yellow hatched is the change between the U.S. Army Corps survey and our ordinary high analysis. There's also, we'll call it purple hatched. That purple hatch is change where it's moved inland. This is, or the purpose of that is there's erosion of the bank along here. The red hatch is where we've added area to the property based on what we call the change with the aerial photography is a little different. Thank you.
And the date of this particular aerial photography, is this in this 19?
This would be 1951. They were also in 52 as well, so I think this is a 1951 photo.
And this area today is all under the lake?
Correct. It's all underwater.
So again, so the effort, you were consistent across the 83 miles in trying to establish effectively a 1952 era ordinary high water mark.
Yes, Governor. Thank you. That's exactly right.
And is the black line that is shown there in this photo, is that the, is any of these relate to the core surveys that you talked to earlier? Not just the hatch lines, but the sort of the jagged ones that follow the river?
Jagged ones are from the BLM quarter-quarter survey. It's what we were asked by legislation to put it in. So that was, we received a lot of comments on that, by the way, regarding the mapping. What would be preferred is if we put this in the GLO maps, government land office maps, with government lots, etc. We presented it with the publicly available BLM survey, quarter quarters.
And what, was there a time frame that the BLM survey was done?
I believe this would be 1951. This would be federal government information. This would be about 1951, 52 as well. Thank you. This is immediately upstream. We have Green Star properties along here. You can see our line change very little in this area. Mostly it's due to erosion from the bank along the river. The river flow is comes from the north and goes east here. This is the bank where it's cutting in. They've lost property. We're not moving the line on the land. It's at the river bank, so any changes would be a result as of an aerial photo. So we didn't recommend any changes here as well.
I want to Joe, be clear, you've used the word erosion a couple times, when we're talking about trying to establish a boundary that's underneath a lake. So is that erosion occurred between the 1942 original evaluations and the 1952 point at which we're trying to mark?
Correct. Very correct. The core survey was based on 1943 topographic information. So that would probably be based on 1943 aerials. This is a 1951 aerial. The river has moved during that time, so there, you would expect some change and some erosion.
Thank you.
Thank you. This area was probably, we received most of the comments here. We have comments from Lonnie White. We also have, Mendenhall has several properties along this stretch. So this is, I think, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn, the comments we received at Mendenhall were through Josh Swanson,
correct,
asking that we release. They had no issues with our line. It was more just release these properties from this process. So that was the biggest comment we got here. Lonnie White is, happens to be right along here. And again, I think the issue here is there was erosion along this edge of the bank. We didn't put the line on the land. It's right at the edge of the bank. So we had really no way to change it. It was a, it's a difference in the aerial photography. And the and as we mentioned in April, the aerial photography is something that was geo-referenced as best we could with the information we had to make sure it's as accurate as possible. Again, this property owner, this one's a little bit different. We do have erosion, but there was a question about our establishment of a line further inland. There was no information provided regarding the difference between the low floodplain land and the property up on top. This is clearly flooded based on our interpretation. There was no change recommended here. So you have the erosion, but you also have the question about the line that's in the floodplain. Based on the comments we received, we reviewed all of our line throughout the whole stretch to make sure we were consistent. We did note that we missed a agricultural uses in this zone here, so we adjusted this line slightly. We also took data from Hagen that he provided, and I think it's better on the next map shown there. So this is, this is a map that has most of the changes that were recommended, and it's based on comments we received. Hagen provided information, additional aerial photography from the, I believe it was the Air Force. He was demonstrating that these trees here are quite substantial, and based on the definition, this area should be taken out. He also provided information about agricultural uses in this zone here. So that was something that we felt that, yes, we should move our line. The green is the move. We originally had it in April here. We moved the line toward the river that far. This was, we considered this to be flooded. Again, on this property here, we received information. There was four family members that provided testimony that very well written, establishing the fact that they farmed this area quite substantially. We reviewed the photos. Their information they provided was very good and detailed on where it occurred. So this we felt we could move out based on information they provided. They had also asked for this area here to be reconsidered as well. This again is eroded, and we were right on the edge, so there's no change there. But this was, this map here has most of the changes that we had in the report.
You mean overall, not just on this?
Overall, thank you. Thank you. North Dakota Elks provided information about this line. They were fine with the words you wrote in here, but they disagreed with our line coming through the floodplain. And they took the definition of the ordinary highs. If it's in the floodplain, that's not the ordinary high. So there was no really further information. And using the definition we have in the legislation, we felt that we would not move this line. This is a fairly flooded area. There was no additional information that we provided, so we're recommending no change on this one.
map also shows a part of an oxbow that occurred. The state engineer brought up the fact that this oxbow should not be considered as ordinary high as well. And that was in, that's something we looked at. And so this whole area in our April report, we recommended as ordinary high based on the state engineer's comments. We're taking that out, and it's not included anymore. So that was another, that was the other big change that happened in this report.
For clarification, that's actually an oxbow lake, which is disconnected from the main stem of the river, not just a meander in the river.
Thank you. It is not.
Can you confirm that it's an oxbow lake? And
it is an oxbow lake. It is not part of the navigable channel, and that's kind of the primary issue here. I'll just start down with these maps. This is further upstream. This island was noted on the core survey as Department of Interior Island. So that was, we're recommending that's changed to a state island. So that was the source of that was the core survey. So that's just an error. The property owners here, Wilkinson, again, didn't have any issues with our line. It was more release the properties from this process. Schmidt also had comments, but there was no substantial information provided about why we shouldn't include this area in the ordinary high. So there was no changes here as well.
Maybe either your attorney or the attorney general, but the error relative to the Department of Interior, because that would go back to equal footing in the statehood, that islands within inside the river belong to the state of North Dakota.
That's right. At the time of statehood, if it was there, it remains federal. But if it deposited on the state-owned bed after statehood, it is state-owned.
For those online, that was Kale. Overall results. In April, we showed that the core survey has 16,687 acres of area within their analysis. We have not called it ordinary high in this case, because that is in question. If you compare that with the project ordinary high in April, we had 2,700 acres. 27,000, thank you. And currently we have 26,195. So there's a difference of about 900 acres that was taken from below the ordinary high watermark.
So based on adjustments in response to comments, we've reduced by about 900 acres?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
And then on this chart, on the, just to make sure we're clear on the dates, is this the survey which is in the top box in this thing? This is the 1943 survey?
Correct. It's based on 1943 information.
1943 information, which may have gone to the low water mark because of their acquisition of riparian lands?
Yes, exactly.
So this is not an apples to apples. And what we should focus on is the project in April was pursuing the definitions as prescribed in law. And then the third line is adjustments to those based on comment from the public.
Thank you, Governor. That's exactly right.
With the same standard of clear and convincing evidence that justifies your view.
Yes. Thank you. Proposed amendments to the report. We want to include all the edits that were recommended by the state engineer. I think he made the report much better in terms of the wording usage, and there's... it was just improved, so we'll take all those. We're recommending that we clarify the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers survey. Now, it may not be the ordinary high analysis. We recommend editing the mapping areas. And also, one of the comments that it didn't cover very well, or didn't cover at all yet, is there was a lot of comments regarding how this information gets to be used. There wasn't enough information regarding government lots. We didn't use government lots, and they're also wanting to know their impact on their properties in finer detail. We provided it in quarter-quarter sections. It was out of our scope, really, to do any survey, but what we recommend at this point is that the ordinary high watermark line that we've established will provide coordinates of that. It can be in digital form. We'll also put it in the report, but it would be something that a professional land surveyor can pull right into their maps and use the data correctly. And I think I've got an example here coming up. So it's a means to make this information more usable by the public. An example of that. Most property owners or well holding is up there have surveyed information of their lots. So this is an example of one of the existing surveys that are there. It's done in CAD. So all this information has coordinates based on it. Our line would be in digital format that they can pull directly into their CAD drawing and make the computations about areas that are in question. I just blown up a section here.
This lot, for example, is a government lot. Can't read it, but it's 13.3 acres. So that's based on the survey they've done. When they drop in our line, which will come right in the same coordinate system that they have on their CAD drawing, they can compute then what that lot is now based on the ordinary high watermark survey that we did. So now we have 6.08 acres, whereas before we had 13.3. So this is how the data can be used quite simply by professional land surveyors to get the information that they want.
And Joel, maybe for people further away to be able to read, but the black line there by the large 23, does that say left bank aerial photo 1943?
Correct. Thank you. By the section 23 line, there is the surveyor has shown left bank aerial photo 1943. Correct.
And so then they would have that in their database. They're able to import the data that would allow them to overlay the blue line on top of their existing survey, and the blue line represents the work of Wenk to try to establish a 1952 ordinary high water, historical ordinary high water mark.
Correct. I'd also like to add that we also have a core survey based on our understanding of it, our best information of it. So there would be a second line that we could add here that would be where we have established the core survey, so they can see how we calculated our numbers. The professional land surveyors have better information, so that's what should be relied on by property owners to come up with detailed calculations. But we do have what we use so they can verify our numbers and check our numbers. That will be another piece of information that we are providing, or recommending that we provide in the amended report.
So all the data for the, I'll call it the blue lines, in this example, all that data is going to be public data in the report that'll be published?
Yes. It'll be on the DMR website where they can click and download a spreadsheet that will be quickly importable into a CAD system.
Yeah, Governor, contingent upon your approval, we will publish that digital line Wednesday on the DMR website. And so companies, for example, this particular operator was XTO. Their professional land surveyor was Uinta, who has the digital survey. They'll be able to import that line and very quickly make the calculation, adjusting all of the property ownership acres. And to the best of our knowledge, because there are wells located all along this stretch of river, pretty much every mile of the river has a professional land survey like this that has been paid for and purchased by an operator. So it should be a pretty quick process for the professional land surveyors that were hired to update their survey with this digital line.
That completes pretty much everything we needed to present. If there's questions, other questions that we can answer, I'd be very happy to
what we've provided you with, commissioners, is, of course, a report, a revised report that is updated, as Joel has indicated in his PowerPoint, to revise definitions according to the suggestions of the state engineer, to include some substantial comments and information that state engineer provided, which help us to help everyone to understand the difference between the 1943 core survey and the historical ordinary high water mark that we're establishing through Wenk's work. And then in addition to that, so that would be amended to add these digital lines. We will have to amend Wenk's contract to provide a little additional financial compensation for producing those lines and putting them on our website. But there is money within the appropriation to deal with that. In addition to that, then, is the standard commission order that you have. And this order has 30 findings. It goes through all of the comments and information that were received and processed to arrive at Wenk's final recommendation. It lumps comments together under things like property apportionment. You know, there's, like I said, 30 different findings, terms and definitions, and it lays out in those findings what action should be taken as a result of the comments received. It also contains findings on all 12 segments. So after we've gone through the ones that sort of grouped together, like you should have considered the effects of the Fort Peck Dam.
When was Fort Peck completed? Before. It was done before Sakakawea.
Correct. I believe it was 1938.
Okay.
And so it did change how this river behaved in advance of the Corps of Engineers survey, and maybe even more significantly in the time period between that and when these aerial photographs were taken. And so it was in place and managing the river prior to either survey. And so that, hence the kind of our response to those comments, is that was properly handled because that dam was managing the Missouri River prior to either survey. So that's a good example.
I think it's fair to say, though, too, it's only one element in all that, because you have the Yellowstone and the Milk River that also flow in.
So that's correct, Commissioner. So, again, you have an uncontrolled river, the Yellowstone, which is affecting the upper reaches, well, all the reaches of the Missouri River here during this time period. And that's why you see so many places in Joel's maps where the river has obviously changed course, because the black lines, which were located on the bank of the river based on the 1943 topography and aerial photos, are in the middle of the river or on the riverbank in the 1951 photos. So there were significant inundations and one very major flood event during that time period. And so it changed the course of the river and changed where this line gets drawn. We also went through each segment. There's 12 segments here. And we received comments on 10 of the 12. And as a result, as Joel indicated to you, made changes on two of those segments. So each segment is addressed. Who commented on that segment of river, and what action was appropriate based on their comments. As I stated, in the majority of those, no change was recommended. But on segments Z and AA, there was the people who commented did exactly what you would have hoped. They came with historical photographs. They came with information about their family living and farming down near the river and what kind of things they did there, what their physical observations were, if there was a large embankment or something like that. And all of that information was incorporated and sent Wenk back to relook at its lines. And as you saw, in segments C and AA, significant changes were made based on those comments and that information that came in. My favorite, of course, was the two brothers riding the combine in 1948, and a newspaper article from the Wilson Herald talking about that wheat crop. So they were able to tie all that together, and that's exactly what we were after in the comment and the hearing, was what can you bring us that's clear and convincing evidence that something needs to change, and that's what the family did. So with that, we have an order that we're asking you to approve. As I stated, it's got 30 findings in it that address all of the things you've heard about today. And then it's got a large number of paragraphs, let me see, I think 15, that direct the department to amend the Wink contract, to produce this digital line, to move the ordinary high water mark on certain segments of the river, and to revise the report. And all of those are incorporated on pages 12, 13, and 14 of the order. So this would be, if you approve it, the final document that would start the clock on sections 4 and 5 of what was known as Senate Bill 2134, North Dakota Censure Code 61-33.1. So it would start a six-month clock and a two-year clock, moving on acreage adjustments, royalties that are in suspense, and a two-year window of opportunity for folks to challenge this decision in the courts. Everybody will have their say in their day.
So if we adopt this report and your recommended order, this represents the best judgment of Wink on where the ordinary high water mark was before the lake inundated it, but does not preclude somebody who may disagree with that determination from seeking judicial relief.
That's correct. Absolutely. And the one thing it does is it does start that clock, so they have until September 27th of 2020 to seek that relief, and then that window closes. And I think that's really important. The legislature chose that. They thought 2 years was appropriate. I would tend to agree with them. And that also provides a sort of a light at the end of the tunnel that if there's going to be litigation over this, it has to begin within that two-year time frame, and so you can see that it will end within our lifetime. You know that it all has to proceed sort of uniformly forward in a uniform time frame, based on a uniform recommendation from Wink that you are adopting.
I'd say that first I'd thank Wink for the work that was done on this. He did a lot of good work. I appreciate the comments, the information gathered from the state engineer. I think it's very relevant, good stuff that needed to be considered. And the opportunity with the hearings that allowed for more information to come in for people to prove that they actually not only had ownership, but we're using that land for agricultural purposes, and then to have the changes reflected in the study and the report. And I guess with all of that being said, and the fact that, as the Attorney General stated, this doesn't preclude anybody from seeking relief if they don't feel this is correct, I would move it.
Okay, and I'll second the motion, but thanks, too. I understand this is Wink's best judgment on where that line is. It helps me a lot in seconding this motion that you were not unwilling to adjust from the core survey when you felt that there was the requisite evidence to satisfy you that was the case. And so,
thank you.
I do second the motion.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Lynn?
If I could provide one more comment, and we looked very hard at this property apportionment issue. It's a very important issue, and it will have to be done as we move forward. It's outside the scope of what the legislature asked the Industrial Commission to do, but had we had sufficient funds in the appropriation, we were going to ask you to amend the WINC contract to have that done. The thinking behind it being that you would have one uniform land survey across this entire 83 miles for everyone to work with. But the costs, and it's in the findings of the order, the costs greatly exceed the appropriation, and it is outside the beyond the scope of what the Industrial Commission was charged with in the legislation. So we chose to recommend that you amend the contract and spend some additional funds from the appropriation, but provide this digital line, which will allow all of these land surveyors to fairly quickly, I would say quite quickly, make those property apportionment calculations for their clients.
Okay. So that's all fine, but you didn't mention what the additional cost is.
Ah, yes. It's approximately $150,000.
Okay.
So the original contract was about $250,000, and for just slightly under another $150,000,
it's going to have to be done by somebody at some point anyway, and so we might as well do it now while they're on board with us.
Yes, I think it's very important that we provide it in precise and what we would consider accurate digital form, so that the land surveyors and the land board can pick it up and move forward with it, you know, without having to try to digitize it or split it up into quarters and all that sort of thing. So putting it in that projection that's always used by the surveyors and making it digital is well worth the dollars spent for the citizens of North Dakota.
And I'm with you on that, but to further clarify, having that digital accuracy free, transparent, available to all of the land and mineral owners along the river will reduce workload for your team, may reduce number of inquiries, may speed up clarification, may help us avoid legal proceedings. I mean, it's an investment in clarity and transparency that could pay big dividends.
Well stated. I agree 100%.
And the mineral owners will benefit too, because they won't have to go out and hire somebody to do the same thing.
That is absolutely correct. They can choose if they dislike the survey that the operator has conducted. They could choose to hire a surveyor to go out and find the monuments and do their own projection, or they could hire a survey to review what the surveyors like Uinta have presented, or they could just choose to accept it. But you're right. It will save the mineral owners and the citizens a lot of money and a lot of time.
And that's already captured in the order?
It is, yes, sir.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Other comments or questions?
Just one quick question. Carlene doesn't know what the appropriation was for this, and that we have, how much we have left to afford that additional cost?
I do not have that information.
I assumed you would. Like
the appropriation was $800,000.
Okay. All right.
And so we'll be expending approximately 50% of that, plus or minus a little bit. So there will be roughly $400,000 left. It's possible that some decision could be made early in the legislative session or some additional appropriations sought from the Emergency Commission for the land board to do this survey if they chose to, or the money will be turned back.
And so except for the contract extension with respect to the digitization, the work of WINC, if this motion passes, will be done with respect to the ordinary high watermark. Is that your position, Joel?
I'll let Lynn take care of it.
Yes. So Yes, it is.
I thought that you had to come in and provide expert testimony if there is some litigation.
Right. There is within the contract some provisions for hourly payments if Joel, for example, or Kale have to appear as an expert witness in litigation. And so there, the contract provides for that. But I guess I'd be comfortable saying we're 95-plus percent complete.
Okay. And so the other 5% is the possible being called back later on? I mean, we've completed 100% of what we've been required to do to this point.
That's correct, yeah. So the other would be just a financial obligation to pay on an hourly basis for expert witness testimony on an as-needed basis. So this order, if you approve it, 100% completes the work of the Industrial Commission and satisfies the legislation and finishes the project and the study.
Thank you, Lynn. Before we vote, I also want to thank Garland Herbley and the State Water Commission for their close monitoring of the process and the detailed editing they provided as part of this process. That was very valuable. So thank you, Garland, to you and your team. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote.
Commissioner?
Yes.
Attorney General?
Yes.
Governor?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wink.
Thank you.